Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
That does sound lovely. I would go for whiskey. Hold on. I got to stop Minerva. Minerva, you're going to knock everything over. More importantly, you're going to hurt my bougainvillea.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your cube watching, nail art buying. None of my pants have pockets, so I'm wearing a fanny pack around my house, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your lemon sorbet savoring. I just finished Where the Crawdad Sings. I purchased bigger jeans, and it's the best thing I've done in a long time, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I'm talking about five reasons why you sometimes need to be a bitch without feeling guilty about it.
I love that.
And what's on your plate this week, Bethany?
My topic is so delightfully stupid. Did you ever watch the show? I don't even remember the name of the show because I got so tickled by the contents of the show. Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, starring Jonathan Frakes.
No, I can't say I have, but it sounds like something that's right up my alley.
It's wonderful. It was a show that was on in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was all of these different stories that were sort of reenacted for you, and then you had to guess which one was real and which ones were fake. And the best part of it is that Jonathan Frakes hosted it, and if you're a sci-fi nerd, he played Commander William Riker on Star Trek The Next Generation, and he basically introduces all of the stories, and people have done supercuts on YouTube of him just introducing the story by asking questions, asking just ridiculous questions that have to do with the story. But when you put them all together, you realize how silly that show really was. So what I'm going to be doing today, Kathleen, is asking you a series of questions based on the questions that Jonathan Frakes introduced stories with on Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction.
There's something so delightful and charming about the bad acting that comes from TV shows that do reenactments.
Oh, it's delightful. Do you have a favorite? Does something pop into your brain?
Yes, my all-time favorite is I Shouldn't Be Alive.
Yeah.
Particularly the episode where they got stranded in an African desert and they had to drink their own pee. And so the reenactment actors were like pretending to drink their own pee, and it was fabulous.
Every once in a while, I'll see an audition posting for one of those. And it's like they'll send you the picture of the real person. So you have to try and look generally like that person, but they're never union gigs. They're always non-union, and they're very, very low paying. And yeah, they're fun. They're fun gigs. So that's what I'm talking about. It's just silly and it's fun. And the show is one of my favorites because it's all like paranormal stuff. And or it's like, my snake killed me. Did it really or was it a myth?
You know, that would be a really good way for like a middle school history teacher or science teacher to go about their teaching practices. Like, the American Revolution. Did it happen or was it a joke?
I feel like there are some schools where those very same lesson plans are very frighteningly similar. Kathleen, how is San Diego going?
Oh, I'm in San Diego. I got here 2 days ago. I'm feeling so chipper because it's nice and sunny here. But also, I used a new product that's fabulous.
What is it?
It's from Mega Babe, and it's called Beach Paint. And basically, you paint it on your face, and it's a sun blocker. So it's not just like UV ray protective. It blocks any rays from getting to your skin.
What's the difference between a blocker and SPF?
A blocker is much thicker. An SPF you can rub into your skin and look relatively normal.
Yeah.
But a sunblocker is essentially like paint that you put over your face, and they have this peachy metallic color. And it just looked like I went a little overboard on the highlighter. It didn't really look that much different than I normally do.
Does it make your, like, does it make your pores stand out? That would be my, but like, does it, I guess it doesn't matter, but.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I looked in the mirror after I put it on when we were in the car on the way to a hike, and I could definitely see like kind of every single bump on my face. But at that point in time, I was just with my brother. It was more important for me to have like a total block on my face, yeah, in terms of sun.
Wow. Is that what you see people wearing on their noses when they have like a white sheen?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And then sometimes people will wear it, women particularly, they'll wear it on their mustaches, like their upper lips, because some women have this hormonal thing where if they get any sort of sun, the color above their lip changes to like a darker skin tone. And, you know, that's kind of, it's not great when your upper lip is a different color than the rest of your face.
Yeah, I'm on the website. It says, think of it this way, wear a beach paint mustache at the beach to keep a Tom Selleck off your face on the streets. Okay, right on.
Yeah.
Join our wait list. Where did you get it? It looks like it's sold out. This isn't an ad for beach paint, by the way.
No, I got it at megababebeauty.com. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's sold out. So it looks like you got it just in time.
I want the blue one. So my face is totally blue.
It's so funny. That's really cool. I'll have to try that because, you know, parasol only takes you so far when the sun can still reach your face.
There is this story that went viral and it made me think of you, Bethany. Have you seen the story about the girl on TikTok who dressed as a goth to meet her date at Panera?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So basically what happened is there's this girl, Megan Elizabeth, and she gets a message on a dating website. It was Tinder, from a guy. His name is Trevor. And he says, please show up looking pretty. Don't show up looking like a goth witch or something. I don't like that.
I don't. Oh, I'm already mad. I don't care what you like. What a tool. What an absolute tool.
What a fucking tool. Can you imagine if a woman said that to like a man? Show up looking hot and not like some douchey frat bro. I don't even know what the equivalent would be, like the other way around.
I mean, frankly, I'm sure there are women who have said that. I mean, I think it's just people stop telling people how to look. You either like someone or you don't.
So she decided to go all out and dress like a total goth witch badass. She wore black lipstick, like really dark eye makeup. She looked so glamorous. She said, good thing I don't give a fuck if he thinks I'm pretty. I'll buy my own Asiago cheese bagel and listen to Slipknot in a booth by myself.
Sounds like he did not like her.
I mean, she looked amazing. She wore black nails, black t-shirt. She's got these like amazing sunglasses. She shows up to Panera. She gets out of her car. She walks in, gets a booth. Then she writes to him, I just got here getting a table. And he replies, I literally just saw you walking by. All girls are the same. I asked for one thing, for you to look pretty and to not dress like that. I'm not coming in and being out in public with you like that. It's so embarrassing.
I do like that they've never met in person before and he's already telling her what he wants.
I mean, it's so crazy.
Oh, man. Whatever poor girl ends up with him is going to learn a lesson real fast. Or she might not. And she may just push down all those feelings of worthlessness.
I feel like looking like a goth witch, it's not status quo.
No.
It's not the par. It's not what the average American woman looks like, you know?
No. And he says all girls are the same. When I wear black lipstick, I still get looks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like everyone is doing it.
No.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So over the weekend, Kathleen, I did something that made me very, very happy. Ooh. Because I'm, you know, everyone is driving me nuts, this dude included. I watched this movie that I watched years ago called Cube. Have you ever seen it?
No. Let me look this up on the Googs. Cube the movie.
It's an independent film out of Canada from the mid to late 90s. And it doesn't age super duper well in a couple of areas.
Yeah.
But ultimately what the movie is about is, I think, 5 or 6 people wake up inside a cube.
What?
A giant cube. They don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to get out. And the movie is about all of these different people opening up. There's like a door in each wall of the cube,
yeah,
opening up doors, and some of the doors that lead to the next adjacent cube contain traps, and some do not. And so it's the process of them finding which of the six doors of the next cube they've crawled into is safe to go in, which one is going to kill them. And it's so low budget, and it's so impressively done for being low budget. Like, they only built one cube, but that cube looks like 17,000 different cubes every time they go into a new room. It's amazing.
I mean, there's nothing more startling than maybe sleeping in a place for the first time or having a rough night and waking up in the guest bedroom or in your office instead of your bedroom, and you're so startled. You're like, how did I get here? Where am I? Who am I?
Yeah. It's such a good movie. Now, there's a couple things that don't age well. One of the things that doesn't age well is there's a character in it. He has either developmental or intellectual disabilities. He's portrayed as being someone who like hits himself on the head when he's stressed out. He's largely nonverbal. And also, spoiler alert for Cube, turns out to be a mathematical genius, which is like a stereotype that really was kind of big in the 80s and 90s. Like, do you have intellectual or developmental disabilities? You must be a savant in something. You must be amazing at piano, or you are a math genius. It does that. So, take that, know that going in. But it's for the budget they had, it's an incredibly good movie. And it spawned two sequels that are bug fuck crazy. So
much like this podcast, impressive for being such low budget. Do you have any friends who you think are secret geniuses? You know, when someone's like a savant, but they're so low key about it, they haven't let on.
I hate it. I've had a couple of friends where I'm like, oh no, I think you might be a genius, and I don't like it. Like, I think that my brother-in-law, my older sister's husband, I've been told before that his IQ is like 140.
I'm so stupid, I don't even know what that means.
Average is 100. Like, average IQ is 100.
Okay.
And I believe it. Like, he just is such a problem solver, but he's also very laid back. Mm. And so I'm like, I think you're a genius, and you're also not telling me, which makes me more insecure about my own intelligence.
So I have a friend. I've been friends with him for quite a long time now. And I think that he has a photographic memory.
What makes you say that?
Because he remembers everything we've ever done, everything I've ever said. He remembers every movie or TV show he's ever watched. And he doesn't have to work very hard to be very good at his job. Like, he'll sleep most of the day and then get all of his work done in 2 hours.
Whoa.
And he also drinks a lot. And so I suspect maybe that he drinks to forget.
Literally.
He'll say something to me about a movie we saw 8 years ago, and I'll be like, what? How do you remember that? Have you seen that since we saw it? And he's like, no.
I've heard that photographic memory is a myth. Let's see. ScientificAmerican.com.
No, it's definitely a real thing. I heard a podcast on it and how people who have photographic memories are literally tortured because they can never forget anything. And there's just so much stuff piled up in their brains.
Well, I know that there are people who like remember every minute of every day of their life.
Oh, God.
Which sounds like a living hell.
Oh, my God.
That would be awful.
Ah, no.
I was talking to someone the other day, like, if you are a genius, life must be so awful because everyone around you is dumber than you.
I like forgetting things. You know what makes me not forget things? The stupid memories that come up on my phone, on my iPhone. You know, they have that feature now.
Yeah.
Josh Groban is trolling me, Bethany.
Why?
Because he's always in my memories. And every time I delete a photo, it's like from our old job, I must have taken pictures of an interview with him on my phone. And every time I think I've just deleted all of the Josh Groban photos, the next day, Josh Groban shows up in my memories. And I'm, Josh Groban, stop following me around.
And it's also, my memories show up and it's me looking way better than I look now. Like, remember when your skin was so clear? Do you remember that? Yeah, not anymore, sucker.
It's like, remember when you thought you were so fat in 2016, but you were really a hot babe?
Do you remember when you had no cares in the world, but you were so stressed out about dumb stuff? You still had no acne.
Remember when your life was fun and you had friends and you went out and you did stuff?
We remember and we'll always remember Kathleen.
Oh, my goddamn phone. Josh Groban. I don't know about you, but I have sort of given up on lotion. I just love body oil so much better.
Once you start with body oil, you get so spoiled because then lotion doesn't seem to cut it. Uh-huh. Body oil is the best, especially when we're in summer and you spend the day outside and you come home and your skin just feels dry and cracked. Uh-huh. That's why Kathleen and I are obsessed with Osea's body oil.
Yeah, I'm so happy to partner with them because as soon as I tried their body oil, I could hear my legs going glug, 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 glug.
It's their Undurea Algae Body Oil. It's this luxurious and rich oil. It's not greasy. It's not sticky. It absorbs really nicely into your skin. And I love it because you can put it on your tattoos and it makes the color on your tattoos pop.
Yeah.
It makes them look really, really nice.
It feels luxurious and rich. And I just feel like I am the princess of my own bathroom. And I hate the word princess. So you know that I really like it. It's like this gold, fragrant, sunny citrus with like top notes of passion fruit. And it's vegan and cruelty free, which is always a must have when Bethany and I are backing products.
Osea is a female founded company. It's family operated by a mother and daughter. You know, it's amazing if a mother and daughter can run a business together because usually mothers and daughters are going to therapy. So yay.
Listen, I love that their ocean cleanser is seaweed infused because if it's good enough for the ocean, it's good enough for me.
So reveal your summer glow with skincare from Osea and get 10% off of all of the products on your first order when you use the promo code TASTE at OseaMalibu.com.
You also get free samples in every order and free shipping on all orders over $50.
Again, that's 10% off with the code TASTE at OseaMalibu. That's OseaMalibu.com. All right, Kathleen. So based on Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, which was a show that went from 1997 to 2002.
Okay.
I am going to ask you some questions that Jonathan Frakes would use to lead into these different stories he was telling. Okay.
All right. You know, I feel like this would be extend to a good podcast series, Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction. And if when you're listening to it, you have to guess. Is it a real life situation?
I mean, really, it's almost entirely verbal. Not a lot of it requires you to be able to see what's going on. So it's kind of like Dateline in that they could probably just take the audio from the show and make it a podcast without having to do anything.
Like if Dateline, if they didn't reshow the same images over and over again on Dateline, it would be all of 8 minutes long.
I know. They just need a lot of overlays of maps. Yes. And now that, you know, most people can afford a drone, man, life is getting so much easier.
So much easier.
Anytime we're watching a movie where there's a drone shot, mm-hmm. one of us goes, ooh, someone got a drone budget. Because you get like these gorgeous, completely still images of like a farm. And then there's like an X. We're like, that's where the body was found. That's where the shoe was found.
I love a good drone shot because mm-hmm. then you can see your neighbors when they're sunbathing naked.
Yeah, that's where the titties are. Okay, so if you don't know much about Beyond Belief, Fact or Fiction, basically what happened is that a bunch of stories were told. They all had some aspect to them that were weird and defied logic. They were like paranormal or they had aliens in them or they were like true crime. And then you were challenged as a viewer to guess which one was true, which one was false. And then they would reveal at the end which stories were fake, which stories were true.
Cool.
And the ones that were fake were usually just like modern retellings of urban legends. Oh. So it's cool. Because you felt like you had heard it somewhere because you recognized the story. So you're like, oh, maybe that is true. But then, nah, urban legend.
Like a song that sounds like another. And you're like, wait, I've heard this song before. Uh-huh. But have I? Uh-huh. Maybe I haven't.
Is that Olivia Rodrigo or am I just listening to Paramore? So YouTuber Zane Golia put together a really great mashup of all of the different questions that Jonathan Frakes asked. So Kathleen, I'm going to let Jonathan Frakes ask you some questions inspired by the show, okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay, Kathleen.
Have you ever walked out of a mall into a huge parking area and realized you'd forgotten where you parked your car?
Oh, yeah. And then I had to get security.
Oh, you needed security. How did security help?
Security was like, ma'am, you probably just went to the wrong Macy's exit. I was like, no, I'm positive. I came in through the men's section. And they're like, all right, get in. What kind of car are you looking for? And I was like, well, I'm looking for a Jeep Cherokee and it's green. And they're like, okay. And then they drove me to the section of the parking lot where they said my car would be. And it was indeed there. Yep.
Which part, which section of Macy's had you actually gone in?
The lingerie section.
I once lost my car at Sears after working a shift at Sears, which is what I did when I was 16. And I lost my car for so long that I just assumed that someone had taken my car, my crappy, crappy car. I started crying. Like, you know, when you're walking around the giant parking lot, but you're so embarrassed and you're trying to look casual because you don't want people to know that you lost your car.
Oh, even worse, if you have so many bags on you and it's hot out and you're like, it's like walking through the desert. It's like, I'm never going to get there.
And I'm always trying to think of, like, how do I look casual super far out in the middle of the parking lot? Like, what purpose besides losing my car would I have out here? How can I look casual while out in the middle of the parking lot, just kind of casually looking around?
You know, and then someone's like, can I help you? And you're like, no. I'm okay. I'm fine.
Why would you ask that? I'm not crying.
I know where I'm going. Do I look upset? Do I look lost? No, I'm fine.
There's just mascara streaming down your face. All right, Kathleen, ever gone mountain biking?
Ever gone mountain biking?
Sure have, yeah. I bought a bike when I was 20. Cost me, I don't know, probably about $200 at Dick's. And I went mountain biking just maybe like twice because, you know, it really hurts your crotch.
Oh, yeah. Slams into your vagina.
It just pounds into your lady taco unless you have a really good gel seat. But even when I got the gel seat, I was like, not this. This isn't for me.
No, I've never gone mountain biking. I've owned a mountain bike that I used to ride around my cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how kids are always like, yeah, I'm going to get a bike. And then they get these super duper mountain bikes and they get them only to ride to 7-Eleven.
Totally. It's like tires the width of my forearm. Yeah. All sorts of different treads on there. It looks like some sort of, you know, tribal tattoo if you run the tire along the street in the mud.
Yes.
But my God, I'm not going anywhere. Kathleen, what's the right tip?
What's the right tip?
This one, Jonathan Frakes is sitting at a fake restaurant table inside this Victorian Gothic mansion interior that he was working on. Mm. Just one table, and he holds his menu, and he looks up at you, and he goes,
what's the right tip?
Okay, so this is a very complicated question.
Sure.
Because, especially during COVID, during the pandemic, I was giving 20% no matter what, whether I was picking it up, it was being delivered. And now that we're back to sort of normal life, I think about this a lot. I think if you're getting a drink, a dollar a drink, you know, a latte, you know, a cocktail, a beer, I still usually give a dollar.
Yeah.
If I get two beers, I still only give a dollar because you didn't mix anything. You just pour them. Same thing with like a black coffee. I didn't ask you to add anything.
Yeah.
So like if I get one, it's a dollar. If I get two, it's a dollar.
Yeah.
If I get three, probably still a dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. But if I'm eating at a restaurant, I'm going to do 20%, but I'm going to do the 20% before the tax.
Sure.
Because God damn it, I'm not tipping on tax.
I always forget to do that. I always tip on tax.
I know, Bethany, you could be saving yourself pennies to the dollar.
I know. Okay, Kathleen, Jonathan Frakes wants to know.
Have you called a plumber to your home lately?
No, but I need to.
What's wrong?
I keep clogging a toilet in my house and it's just like clogging more than it should. Like, how often do you clog your toilet, Bethany?
Not often.
Really?
I think I have a good toilet and also nothing is wrong with my body in any way that it would cause anything to happen that would require a clog.
Okay.
In that I don't do any of those disgusting things, as we discussed on the bonus episode this week. If you were paying attention.
Yeah, I also need some faucets changed out because my faucets look like genie lamps and I always hit my head on them and I can't wash my face properly. But yeah, so I'll call one soon.
Yeah. Is it the toilet? Is it your toilet, do you think? Is like a smaller, or is the flush, does the flush not have a lot of oomph to it?
I have two toilets in my apartment that are the Danny DeVito of toilets.
Oh.
They're short and squat, and I just don't understand the shape of them. And I don't know if it's like the way things come out of my body because of the way, like how tall the toilet is. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah. It's really tough. What's one thing I look for when I'm looking at a new place to live is I'll flush the toilet. Because if it's just a gentle, we'll get to flushing when we get around to it sort of water flow, that's a no for me.
Yeah.
I need it to be like everyone panic and get out of the room type of water flow. Like a real aggressive boosh down into the pipes.
When you move into a new place, I have a question for you because a friend recently said this to me.
Yeah.
Do you change the toilet seats when you move into a new place?
So I never have before. I didn't even think it was an option. And then I started hearing about people who did that. And I heard a story about how Simon Cowell brings his own toilet seats to hotel rooms, which I don't know if that's true or not.
That, I mean, does he put that in his carry-on? Ew.
I don't know. I don't know. Do you just see him? Most people are carrying the neck pillows in the airport around their necks, but he has a full toilet seat around his neck because it's like still in the plastic. He's bringing it.
Apparently some people, they go get new toilet seats every time they move into a new place. I don't get it. A little bleach, it's fine. The toilet seat
is fine. The only reason to get a new toilet seat is if you're really looking for like a snazzy color. Like you want a lavender toilet seat because lavender's back in.
Or one that has, you know, like the clear ones with the water inside with the little plastic floating fishies.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. I like those. You can get a lot of fun toilet seats online. Mm-hmm. Kathleen, how much money would it take to make you spend a night in a cemetery?
Not that much, unfortunately. I'll do anything for a few dollars. And you'd probably do it for free.
I do it for freezies. Jonathan Frakes is holding two fistfuls of money.
If he's holding fistfuls of money, I would say both of those fistfuls, you know? Take what you can get.
And are those 20s or are those like a 20 on the top and bottom and then ones on the inside? I'm still taking them regardless, but I just want to know what I'm getting into.
I mean, do I get like sleeping accoutrements?
I think it sounds like, let's say that everything's provided for you. You know,
like a sleeping bag, a little cot.
Sleeping bag, like when we went to the Grand Canyon, you know, like they brought everything.
Like a little holy water.
Yeah. Salt. So how much would it cost for you to do that? Just a few bucks?
No, both fistfuls of cash.
Whatever you're holding, Jonathan Frakes, is what I'm wanting.
Whatever's in your wallet, empty it out and I'll do it.
Okay, now this one is visual, Kathleen, but I'm not going to tell you at first what it is he's talking about. I just want you to guess what he's talking about, okay?
Okay.
He's asking, would you display this as a trophy?
Would you display this as a trophy?
What do you think he's asking about? It's something on a wall.
Oh, man. It's probably something phallic or something offensive.
It's neither. It's natural.
No, it's natural. Is it a fish head?
Close. It's an ornate pair of deer antlers.
Oh, yeah. I grew up with, my dad was a hunter. There's a buck in my mom's house. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Kathleen, can you remember the tallest man you've ever seen? And was that man my dad?
You know, I don't know, Bethany. What's the tallest man you've ever seen?
Probably my cousin Ryan.
Yeah, how tall?
He's 6'9", I think.
Oh, my God. Does he play basketball?
No, everyone asks him that. If you know a tall person, don't ask them if they play basketball. They don't. And they're sick of being asked.
I met somebody for the first time recently it was actually Taste Bud Brienne. I'd only seen her face like on Zoom and pictures in the fan group and on Instagram or whatever. And then I met her in person and she's like 5'11". And the first thing that came out of my mouth, and I couldn't even help it, I felt so bad. Wow, your face doesn't look that tall. Some asshole.
What a strange thing to say.
I just like you only looking at someone on Zoom. Sometimes it's hard to gauge how tall they are. I just couldn't believe it.
Absolutely.
The tallest person I've ever seen is probably my best friend's husband, Mikey. He's like 6'4", 6'5", or something.
Oh, that's nothing. You need to come to the Midwest. We grow them that tall. My dad's 6'4", and I used to think that was average adult male height.
Yeah, right.
I know. I was real disappointed when I went into the real world.
I would love to see your 6'4 dad sitting on my Danny DeVito toilet.
His knees are up under his chin.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, Kathleen, this is where this medley of questions starts to sound a little insidious.
Okay.
It sounds like Jonathan Frakes is trying to steal your passwords. Kathleen, are you careful with your personal records?
Are you careful with your personal records?
Nope.
What do you shred your mail?
No.
You should shred your mail. Get a diamond cut. Don't get like just the long strips. People can tape those back together. I learned that from an episode of That's So Raven. The funny thing is, Raven taped them all together and then accidentally shredded them again. That was so Raven when she did that.
Do you shred every piece of mail that comes to your house?
Everything. If it has my name on it, I shred it. I shred if it has a barcode on it, if it has any sort of tracking information, I shred it. Mm-hmm. I make sure, because I'm assuming someone is outside my house with a little scanner, like a barcode mm-hmm. scanner, and they can pull up the barcode and be like, oh, I have all of her personal information now. Everything gets shredded.
I knew someone once who was obsessed with shredding like you are, but then her shredder broke, and then she just started soaking her mail.
I've done that. I've also just sat over this over the garbage with a scissor and just start cutting, like snip, 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 like a psycho.
You know, I've done that too. And also I got my husband into soaking our prescription bottles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bethany, it's like if you want to steal my financial information, go ahead. I'm not that concerned about it.
No, but because your financial information is sometimes my financial information.
But if you want to know what medications I'm on, fuck you, because I've soaked those labels right away.
Kathleen, get yourself a paper shredder. It will change everything. It's so enjoyable to put out the clear plastic bag of paper recycling, and all it is tiny little diamonds. And it's like, ha ha ha, all of my information is right here, motherfuckers, but you can't read any of it because it's shredded into diamonds.
Sometimes I bring it to my mom's house and I hand her a bag and she's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I'm like, I don't know. Shred it, read it, whatever.
I am getting you a shredder for Christmas. 12-page diamond cross cut.
Thank you.
All right, last question, Kathleen.
Yes.
You ever visited a truck stop?
Yeah. Like a truck stop / rest stop. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you buy any whimsical souvenirs?
Can't say I have. Maybe a bag of Doritos, a cold soda.
We went to a truck stop as we were driving home from Wisconsin over the winter. Mm-hmm. And there was like this, it was like a subway / truck stop. And so there was the hallway that connected the subway to the truck stop and the bathrooms.
My favorite restaurant.
Uh-huh. What's your sandwich again?
It's so complicated, I can't tell you. It's not tuna, because there's no tuna in the tuna at Subway.
Apparently there's no tuna in the tuna at Subway. What is it, yoga mats, or is that the bread?
You know what? I enjoy the bread, even if I am eating yoga mats. It's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. You know what? As long as they toast it, I'm fine with that.
I wonder if there's onion in the sweet onion sauce.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. It's probably yoga mats. But yeah, so this little hallway had one of those circular shelves that spun. And on it were purses that looked like books.
What?
And I thought I saw a book that said Wuthering Heights on it. So it was like a purse, but Wuthering Heights, but it was actually not a book. It was a purse.
Yeah.
But it turns out it was the Word of the Lord, not Wuthering Heights. And they were all Bibles. And I was like, oh, that's... okay, sorry.
You thought the Bible rack was a rack of purses shaped like books?
No, they were purses shaped like Bibles.
No, they were
still purses, just shaped like Bibles.
Bethany.
They all had like the Holy Bible or the Word of God or the Word of the Lord, but they were purses.
Now I know what I'm getting.
I was like, this is really cool, but like not really for me.
Now I know what I'm getting my mom for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, she would freaking love it. I think it has pockets on the inside.
Purses shaped like Bibles. Here it is. You can get it on Amazon. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yep. You can also get it at a truck stop in Wisconsin.
It's a crossbody.
Yeah, no, it's great for if you're traveling in a high traffic area like Rome.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I keep snorting and laughing at the same time.
Book purses are the bomb. I have an Alice in Wonderland one, and I have another one too, but I thought it was Wuthering Heights, and I love Wuthering Heights because you know I love a tortured man, and it wasn't that.
Bethany, this is the best concealment if you ever want to hide something when you're traveling in your luggage.
Like a gun.
Get yourself a Holy Bible crossbody purse.
Dude, there is like some sort of demonic fighting priest who carries his demon fighting tools inside a Holy Bible purse. And he whips out his holy water and his stake to drive into the vampire's heart. And it's inside a Holy Bible.
Oh my God, Bethany, on Amazon, they have the Book of Dracula as a purse.
Fuck!
Oh, now I'm so into purses shaped like other things.
Yeah, I love purses shaped like other things.
I could get a purse that's shaped like a teapot. It comes in black alligator. You can get a purse shaped like a bloody cleaver.
What?
I know.
You know what? There's so many creative people out in this world.
I know.
If you want a thing, I bet you can find a purse shaped like that thing.
Okay, so you asked me these questions. What? Which of these situations were real?
Oh, I literally have no idea. What was happening at the Taste Bud meetup that you went to last weekend?
So I was at the Taste Bud meetup and I was listening to some Taste Buds talk about Liquid IV, which they heard about on this podcast for the first time. And they were like, yeah, it really does work. Like,
yeah,
it works magics for hangovers. And the other day I was feeling like crap and I drank one of these things and it was so good. And another Taste Bud is like, oh my God, where do you get it? And this other Taste Bud is like, you get it at Costco. It's amazing. And Liquid IV is a staple in my household now. The summer is hot.
Yep.
And we need to be proactive about keeping our body fueled up and hydrated. And yep, the other day, I did the strawberry Liquid IV in my huge new water bottle. And then I did mint leaves. Ooh. And it was a damn treat.
That sounds amazing. It sounds like something you'd get at a spa.
I know.
So in my house, we call Liquid IV Hydration Station. And it's literally just a portion of my countertop that has the Liquid IV on it. Liquid IV hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. My favorite flavor is the guava. It gives you 5 essential vitamins. It gives you more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana. It basically shoves good things into your body faster than water alone.
And it's made with clean ingredients. And I typically don't like the word clean, but Liquid IV is non-GMO, it's vegan, and it's free of gluten, dairy, and soy. So your cousin Ginger, who's allergic to everything, can enjoy Liquid IV.
Everyone has that one family member that's kind of sickly. They can enjoy Liquid IV too. Yeah. And by the way, it's a good company. They're donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Plus, Liquid IV has donated over 11 million servings globally.
So get your optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium and grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and then use the code TASTE at checkout.
That's 25% off of anything in your order when you get better hydration today using the promo code TASTE at liquidiv.com.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter is a good food for many things, but I feel like maybe you should have had something just a little bit more flavorful for dinner, and that is why you need to let Green Chef do the meal planning for you.
I know.
It's the number one meal kit for eating well, and they now offer a variety of easy-to-follow meal plans for every style, like keto, plant-powered, and vegan.
I am learning the hard way that I need someone else to plan my meals for me, and Green Chef does that. They're expert chefs design flavorful recipes that go way beyond ordinary. It's a diverse array of meal plans, plenty of options to choose from. Because if you're like me, you cannot conceptualize what a meal should look like.
Yeah.
Once I get one meal in my head, that's all I do because I can't think of anything else. With Green Chef, you have chefs planning your meals for you.
We've made Green Chef meals in our house in the past, and it's so easy. I'm like, oh, dinner time. And instead of having a meltdown, I just open the fridge and there's this brown paper bag that's like, here are your plant-based tacos. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Green Chef.
Yeah.
You truly are a chef.
I love the idea of you going, oh, it's dinner time, and then immediately collapsing to the floor in a meltdown. By the way, Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit. They offset 100% of their direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you can feel great about what you're eating and also how it got to your table.
So check it out for yourself and go to greenchef.com/taste100 and then use the code TASTE100 to get $100 off, including free shipping.
Again, greenchef.com/taste100 and then use the code TASTE100 to get $100 off, including free shipping.
Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. So this thing happened,
mm-hmm,
and it got me thinking about being a bitch.
Okay.
I was at the kitchen store with my mom.
Okay.
And we were picking out cabinets. Do you remember the last time you were a huge biatch and then immediately felt guilty after?
Okay, so I have a hard time standing up for myself with people in my life.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And like, you know, using the term bitch, like, I think it's a very aggressive, like, hateful term. It's an angry term.
Yeah.
And I think it's usually used just when someone is standing up for herself. Mm-hmm. So if we're using it that way, it's probably a couple weeks ago, I probably had to like say how I felt in my relationship and it made me really uncomfortable. But I had to say, even though you intended something one way, it came across this way and it hurt my feelings. Like, that is actually just a normal relationship conversation. But I'm so confrontation averse that to me, it makes me feel like I'm being just unreasonable. So probably that.
That is exactly what I'm trying to get at. I feel like not enough people embody their inner biatch. And I have a hard word with, I have a hard time even saying the word bitch. I don't like it because there's so many negative connotations behind it.
Yeah.
But just a small action of standing up for yourself or being honest with someone about how you feel, particularly women, I think that we have a tough time and we always feel guilty after the fact because we don't want to seem obstreperous. We don't want to seem difficult.
Oh, I've worked with mostly men my whole career and you become quote unquote one of the guys and thus you get the quote unquote privilege of hearing them talk about their partners and all of the awful things that my coworkers would say about their wives and girlfriends. And it was usually stuff like, oh, she's so emotional. She's so hard to handle. Oh, I hate it when she needs to talk about stuff. Oh, she's just, she's so much. She's, you know, oh, she's mad again. She's such a bitch.
Yes.
So I never, and I internalized that hardcore. And so I never wanted to be that kind of girlfriend that my boyfriend would then go and, you know, neg on to his other buddies at work.
Yes.
So it's really, really hard. We shouldn't be given that label, which that's not what this is about. But just like standing up for yourself shouldn't be a negative.
Yes, exactly. In my mind, it's a really muddled gray area where I am a strong, confident, passionate woman. But also, I don't want to like burden anybody and I don't want to put anyone out. And so there's so many negative things that go through my mind when someone says like, just be a bitch, get what you want. But so I was at the kitchen store with my mom and we're picking out cabinets and I know that she wants sage green cabinets. And so her contractor is there and the lady that works at the kitchen store is there, the designer. And I'm going, okay, so which of these options that they gave her, which of these come in a custom color? And they looked at each other and then they looked at my mom and myself and they said, well, none of them. These are the colors you choose from. I said, no, we want a custom color. My mom wants a custom color. Custom colors are something that happens all the time in kitchen design. Like, what is the deal?
Yeah.
And then the contractor and the designer start whispering to each other. And I'm like, am I going crazy here? Like, what is happening? So this is when I really start to raise my voice. I stood up for my mom and I said, whatever you're saying to each other, you can say to us because
yes, Kathleen.
She's the one paying for this. So you might as well just say it out in the open because you guys are whispering to each other. And I heard you just say, yes, it can be done. Like, what are our options?
Good for you, Kathleen.
But I immediately felt a sense of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
They think I'm a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. They think I'm crazy.
Yeah, they think I'm difficult.
Yep.
And it got me thinking that there are a handful of situations, and obviously there are going to be more that I'm not covering today, but these are just five off the top of my head, situations when you have every single right to be a tenacious bitch.
Okay, awesome.
When it comes to your money.
Hell yes. Yes, 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 yes.
When you're spending money, or when you're saving money, or something around your financial health, you need to be a bitch and you need to ask questions. Yep. And even if you feel like those questions are stupid and you're asking too many, it is your money.
Yep.
Be a freaking bitch.
No one else is going to protect your money the way that you protect your money.
Mm-hmm.
Your partner, if you're giving money to your partner, they're not going to protect your money.
Nope.
The way that you will.
Mm-mm. Be assertive about where your money's going, what you're spending your money on. Like, I think of going to a store and buying a big ticket item. If the person that works at that store isn't being upfront with you, isn't being communicative with you, press your bitch button and you say, hey, person, you need to start speaking louder and give me all my options because I'm spending a lot of money on this. I don't know, insert couch, computer, diamond. I don't know.
I am getting this diamond computer couch. And if you want my card to go through, which it may or may not, it's really always a toss up. You are going to answer all of my questions. First of all, does this diamond computer couch charge my cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, I'm setting this place on fire.
Yeah. And you say to them, I'm a bitch. Wait, no. You say to them, I'm a person who knows what I want. I'm assertive. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to take advantage of me.
And even though you may have tears streaming from your eyes as you say this, you will still say it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will look insane because you're sobbing, but you will still say it.
See, Bethany, just the fact that you also described that as insane is part of the reason why I want to talk about this, because...
Well, I mean, if you're sobbing while also saying, I need my answers, you do kind of look insane, but you know.
But like after the kitchen incident, I felt insane and I shouldn't have, because being a woman, being a human who's assertive is not an insane thing. It's a good quality to have.
And they were being straight up unprofessional.
So crazy.
So unprofessional.
All right. Number two, when you're standing up for yourself within your career, with your friends or your romantic partners. This is exactly what you were just talking about, Bethany.
This one's the hardest because you have to see these people again. It's one thing to be able to, you know, stand up for yourself with the person at the Diamond Couch Store because you'll never see him again. But if it's your partner, your dad or your boss or your coworker who's always talking shit, man, it's hard.
Like Neil, a couple of weeks ago, had to stand up to me.
Why? Can I ask?
Moving was very stressful on us. We're in a better place now, but he expressed something to me that he was right about, and it wasn't easy for me to hear. And he was basically like, we're moving. I know you want to change a lot of new things about this apartment, but I also don't want to live amongst all of your unfinished projects.
Sure.
And he has every right to say that. It really hurt my feelings. But sometimes you just need to stand up and say what's in your heart. And I made him feel really bad about it. I was crying and I was this and I was that. And then I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll do better. Of course, like I played the victim because I'm an a-hole. But sometimes you have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
With friends, with romantic partners, with career, sometimes you need to press your bitch button and do what's best for you, because what's best for you will trickle down to all of the other people that you love and take care of in your life.
And you know, it's in their best interest. If it's something that you truly need to express this, or you need this thing to go this way for you to be sane and for you to be okay.
Yeah.
It's in their best interest to be told that, because they can't read your mind.
Yeah.
And life will be easier in general if you are doing things for your highest good. And it's, you know, in theory, it all sort of trickles down. But like the hardest thing ever, Kathleen, we've talked about it before, were those the t-shirt designs were like the coven, the daytime coven t-shirts were all I wanted to do was say, you know what, Kathleen, you're right. Like the design that you came up with is fine.
No, but I'm glad you didn't back down.
But it was so hard because I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to cause any problems. I didn't want to rock the boat. I wanted everything to be okay. And it would have been easier to just like suck it up and have a different design for the shirt.
I'm pointing at you every time you say rock the boat.
Yeah. Yep.
Because exactly. Sometimes we don't stick up for ourselves and our feelings and our opinions because we don't want to rock the boat. Mm-hmm. But who really gives a shit if the boat is rocking? Sometimes the boat needs to be rocked.
Yeah.
The spiders need to be swept out and you need to go out to sea.
Yeah, some people need to fall off the boat.
You need to make waves before you find smooth sailing.
Sometimes people need to fall out of the boat and you have to pretend that you didn't see them fall.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
And if they're like, I'm falling, and you're like, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, can I? My Mai Tai is really strong. Well,
this boat got real empty, but everything seems much better now. Anyway,
imagine, Bethany, a life where you're not worried about rocking the boat. Imagine a life where you don't bottle up your emotions.
I can't imagine it. My emotions are real deep down, but they're there and they're mad.
Surprisingly, letting your emotions be known is a total stress reliever. Can you believe that?
Go figure.
And those who bottle up their emotions are doing serious harm to their health.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is one of those times where you have to ask yourself, will this situation be playing over and over and over in my head for the next 15 years if I don't stick up for myself? And if the answer is yes, you need to press your bitch button.
Oh, God, but it's so hard. But you're right. I mean, you're right.
Number three, you need to be a biatch when it comes to your health and your sexual health.
Again, no one's going to fight for your health as hard as you will fight for your health.
Yeah. Before you go to the doctor, when you have concerns, write them down, hand that list to your doctor or read it out loud to your doctor, because you're going to show up and you're going to be sitting in that room and you're just going to be like, oh, everything's fine. Even your foot could be bleeding and half falling off. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, you know, just the usual. Feel totally good. Just here for a regular checkup.
Isn't your foot bleeding? I'm sorry.
Look at that. Yeah, I guess it is.
What was the show? Was it Matlock? I never saw it, but there was a show that was famous for the one more thing. I think it was Matlock, where like he would be Columbo, where like he would be interrogating, you know, bad guys, and he'd be like, oh, okay. Hey, just one more thing. And then he would like hit him with this like question that made him, you know, tell the truth.
Yeah.
The last time I went to my doctor, I did like 3 one more thing moments with her where she was about to leave. And I was like, one more thing. I have this pain in my heart. Literally, my heart hurts. My chest has been hurting. So then we would like go through and talk about that. And she's like, okay, anything else? No, I'm fine. You know, one more thing, actually. I got this weird thing on my foot. It's shaped like Australia, and it has a heartbeat. Can we look at that? Okay, yeah, we can. Like, she didn't get mad. And she was like, okay, anything else? No, I'm good.
Oh, just one thing.
One more thing. I have had 17 additional sexual partners over the last 3 weeks. All of them consensual, none of them protected. Is that anything I should be worried about? Yeah, is she real worried? Great, let's get some tests.
And one more thing.
And then she'd get up to leave. I'd be like, one more.
I love that. Bethany, the one more thing theory.
One more thing. I think I resorbed my twin, and she's currently on my hip. Her name is Eliza.
You should do a scientific study on the one more thing theory. You could write a really educational paper on this.
Oh, Columbo. One of his eyes was fake.
One of the situations where you need to stand up for yourself is making sure you get all the right tests, communicating your symptoms to your doctor when it comes to your health. And then when it comes to your sexual health, saying no, communicating with your partner what you like and what you don't like, instead of just like having sex and then maybe never having an orgasm or not telling your partner that it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. Be a biatch and tell them exactly what you want, how you want it, and what position and time of day you want it in, I guess.
Yeah. Which kitchen utensil you want brought into the room. Bring that egg beater.
My latest favorite hobby is reading what's the name of the doctor that cuts open the body?
Coroner, yeah.
Coroner. Reading coroners talk about bodies that they've opened on Reddit.
Oh, fascinating. What subreddit is that?
You know, I always Google coroner autopsy surprise, and then all sorts of different threads pop up.
Your Google search must be fascinating.
And there was one coroner who was saying how this woman died in her early 40s, and she kept telling doctors that she was having pain in her abdomen, in her pelvis area. And they were just like, oh, you know, you're faking it. Oh, it's no big deal. And she died. I don't know the reason why she died, but the family was explaining this to the doctors. And when the coroner opened her up, it was nothing but scar tissue inside her abdominal cavity, because she had such a horrific case of endometriosis that that it just left her insides mangled.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And no one believed her.
No one believed her.
You're probably just being emotional with your vagina.
Yeah. They said, oh, it's, you know, just your period. Oh, you're being overly sensitive. And so when it comes to your health and your sexual health, you absolutely have to be a biatch.
Yeah. Nope. That's a great one. That's a really good one, Kathleen.
Number 4, when you need to be honest with someone about something important. Now, I'm not talking about your roommate's dress maybe not being your favorite color.
You know I hate yellow, Estelle.
Estelle is the type of human to wear yellow. I'm talking about
I love yellow.
Things that are serious.
Like what?
If you see your friend in a relationship that's maybe getting abusive, but you're afraid to overstep, you're afraid to be a biatch.
Yes.
or you see a pattern in your friend's behavior where they look like they're spiraling and you don't want to be the biatch that's nitpicking at them. But sometimes you have to be honest with people.
Yeah, no, that can be a tough one because you don't want to potentially alienate the person. I know a lot of times if there's a situation where your friend is in what looks to be an abusive relationship, you obviously want them to be safe, but you also don't want them to be pushed away and choose the partner over you, which may happen. It's really hard to know what to do, but you're right. You have to say something. You have to stand up for them because you may be the only person in their life who's willing to say something.
I was in a situation recently where I wasn't honest with a friend because I was afraid. And I have a friend who's now sober. But when I was noticing signs of a drinking problem, I didn't want to overstep. And, you know, in some ways, she needed to come to the realization on her own. But
yeah,
I, as one of her very best friends, I think that maybe I could have saved her some heartache.
Yeah.
Had I said something sooner.
It's so uncomfortable.
You know, when she asked me, I confirmed, you know, like.
It's so uncomfortable because how do you even start the conversation?
I know.
You know, like, oh, I brought you here because we need to talk. I know. And it's just your whole stomach, drops.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on the person on the receiving end of that, you feel like absolute shit. But the situation with my friend had a really excellent outcome because now she's getting help and she's feeling better about herself. But sometimes when you don't say something soon enough, that person dies.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe sometimes that's a time when you have to hit your bitch button.
Yeah, I fully agree with that.
You know?
Yeah. And you don't want to – you also don't want the friend maybe who then gets better to be like, why didn't you say something sooner? Like, why did it take me going, hey, do you think I have a drinking problem? And you going, oh, abso-fucking-lutely, for you to like – she have said something earlier.
Yeah. It's a delicate situation. And, you know, I'm always afraid to lose a friend or to, you know, lose touch with a family member over something like that. But if I ever win the lottery, I will tell my cousin he doesn't get his cut until his children are vaccinated. Oh, my God. I'm a huge biatch. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, look, that's one. That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one.
My last reason, when you're allowed to press your bitch button and stand up for what's right in this world, is when you're looking out for the well-being of your loved ones. And also when you're in a situation where another person cannot protect themselves.
Like what?
Like you're at the bodega and you are witnessing some blatant racism at the bodega. I think maybe that's a time where you stand up and you say, hey, this person is just trying to buy a soda. You need to back off and mind your own business.
Yeah. You can Google, I'll put some links in the show notes about like how to help interfere and intervene in situations like that specifically. Like you can say something. You can also, my favorite is cause a distraction, where if someone is, let's say one person is yelling racial slurs at another person, if you don't feel comfortable literally stepping in between them and saying something, you can like drop your iced coffee, which will cause a giant splash and everyone will get distracted and look at you, which will take the heat off of the person being screamed at. It's a safer way for you to stop the situation.
I see what you mean, instead of being confrontational.
Yeah. And you get to cause a scene, which I think all of us want to do.
Always.
So it's like, this is your chance to be Moira Rose and cause a commotion. Mm-hmm. And like the person being screamed at will probably be relieved that the heat is off of them for a little bit.
You could fake fainting, you know?
Yep.
Oh, this December heat has me so sleepy.
I have a case of the vapors. And you just fall to the ground in amongst all of the apples that still aren't wrapped in cellophane, even though you know that children are licking them and touching them. Wrap them up.
It's Friday, and if I could do high kicks right now without disturbing my microphone and my podcast setup, I would to celebrate because I'm wearing my Beta Brands dress pant, yoga pant, yoga denim pants.
Now that you're getting ready to go back into the office, I know a lot of people are at the beginning of September, you're going to need to stop looking like a ragamuffin every day, Susan. Mm-hmm. So get yourself some Beta Brand dress pant, yoga pants. These are the pants that are pulled together. They keep everything up and in. They are professional work pants. However,
yeah,
they're also as comfortable as yoga pants, so you can do a high kick as you're remembering which floor you work on.
The ones I've really been obsessed with lately are the Journey Pant. I need to get them in a couple of colors. I have them right now in black, and I'm getting on an airplane later today, and I will 100% be wearing my Journey Pants because there's so many pockets for all the different things I need when traveling.
And their new restorative collection features versatile pieces that are designed for living and working in. Their super popular Soho joggers are really, really cute. They're so easy to dress up or dress down. I have their moto leggings. They have like those cool moto details on the knees. They have functional pockets. I can put my secrets in them.
I'm sorry for the uncomfortably long pause. That's not professional of me at all. I'm looking on the website right now, and on the homepage, they're featuring the Lotus leggings, and I'm like, I think I need to order a pair of these because they look really comfortable, and they're leggings that have pockets, and need I say more?
Yeah.
Pockets.
Pockets. Plus, they launch new styles weekly, and right now, you can get 30% off of your first Beta Brand order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 30% of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Discover what it's like to be comfortable and confident all the time and not want to rip your pants off when you get home. So again, go to betabrand.com/taste for 30% off.
Bethany, did you see that Ashley Olsen was photographed taking a hike with a machete in one hand and a cocktail in another?
I did see that. And you... First of all, great.
Yes.
The first thing I thought when I saw that picture is her machete looks very new. I don't know if I've ever seen a new machete. That's the first thing I thought of. I've only ever seen machetes that are rusted or covered in blood.
I'm going to type machete knife into Amazon right now and see what comes up.
I mean, I'm sure you can buy new ones, but I've only seen them in real life. I found one in a field once and it was rusted. And then I've seen them in horror movies and they're covered in blood.
They're not all that expensive. Look at this. $21.99,
$24.99.
Wow.
Are they just for bushwhacking? Are they just for like chopping down roots as you walk through the forest?
I don't know.
Why does one need a machete?
For Ashley Olsen, maybe she was going to harvest some illegal plants wherever she was.
Maybe. Do we know where she was?
It just said she was in the woods. didn't give her whereabouts. But you know, it's safety. You cannot be too safe. And I like the idea of having maybe like a hiking party where you have a scotch or a whiskey in one hand and a knife in another.
It's just funny because, yes, you might need a machete as you're hiking because you have to cut down the vines that are in your way. But if you're in a place that's densely enough packed that you need a machete to get through, you probably don't have an open bar nearby. Like, what is she doing?
Who needs an open bar, Bethany, when you have a plastic cup and a...
Why does she have a plastic cup? If she's in a place where she needs to bushwhack, she should be using reusable containers. She shouldn't be using plastic.
I don't think...
Where was she?
She looks like she's on a path. She's not bushwhacking anything. I think maybe it was for comedic effect or maybe protection. And it looks like the cup that she's got her whiskey in is glass. She's literally hiking with an actual whiskey glass and a machete for protection. Here's the thing. Looks like her machete has a cover on it. How are you going to get that cover off while you're holding your glass? You're going to have to drop your glass.
I hope she has a friend. That friend, whoever took that picture, is going to have to drop the camera.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to own a cottage that had a little walking path through the forest, and at happy hour, you would say to your family or your friends, hey, let's pour a little bit of wine and take a walk in the woods.
That does sound lovely. I mean, that sounds really nice. I love it. I kind of want a machete now. I have no use for one, but I feel like it's a pretty badass knife. I feel like it probably feels pretty good in the hand. Good hand feel, you know, good weight. I hope the tang is balanced. I hope, you know, I hope the leverage is even keel and the, you know, the hardeners are firm.
I have many a time considered maybe working for my friend who has a landscaping company just to see what it would feel like cutting shit down. every day.
Is that by and large what landscapers do?
I mean, it depends on what kind of landscape mm-hmm. you are. Are you a maintenance kind of landscaper where you're mm-hmm. just watering lawns and trimming mm-hmm. bushes, stuff like that? Or are you like a bigger picture redesign landscaper, which my friend is, where he rips complete bushes and trees out and digs stuff up and cuts shit down?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That sounds
so satisfying.
Wonderful.
He's like, I can't find anybody to work for me. I'm like, you could just put out a thing on Groupon and people would pay to work for you. Dude, if you told them they'd get their anxiety out.
You should work for him. Just work for him. I'll work for him. Hell, we both work for him.
Do you want to become a landscaper with me, Bethany?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. It'll give me something to do with this new machete that I'm buying. okay, so I was reading this article because, you know, I'm learning about branding and stuff. And it talks about colors and what colors you're supposed to use for your business brand or for yourself as a personal brand.
What do our branding colors signify? I hope it's good stuff.
That's a really good question. Let's look. Okay, so we have pink.
Uh-huh.
Pink stands for femininity, youth, and innocence.
I think it's more of a coral. No, you're right. We do have pink. Yeah.
It's pink, yeah. It ranges from modern to luxurious.
Mm.
We have orangey red, which they don't really have, but orange stands for playfulness, vitality, and friendliness. It's invigorating and evokes energy.
Dunkin' Donuts,
mm-hmm.
theirs is orange and pink.
Yes, and that is. They're playful, they're upbeat, they're energetic. So that's perfect. And you know that they spent a lot of money to figure out what colors they should be.
Yeah, coffee makes you energetic.
Yeah. We have green. We have like a mint green.
Uh-huh.
This just says green, which is stability, prosperity, growth, and a connection to nature, which is not really us, but.
No, I like nature. Let me see. Famous brands with green.
It's probably a lot of food things, like healthy food.
Starbucks. Spotify.
Oh.
John Deere. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense.
Sprite.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure if that makes sense.
No, growth, prosperity. I mean, yeah, Sprite, you know, Sprite.
Subway.
Eat Fresh.
Tic Tacs.
Oh, you're right. Tic Tacs are green. That's interesting.
Breathe Fresh.
Once I ate an entire package of orange Tic Tacs for dinner.
Yeah. God, I haven't had a Tic Tac in a long time. I love Tic Tacs.
They're delicious. Okay, the color yellow. Yellow evokes happiness, youth, and optimism, but it can also seem attention-grabbing or affordable. So if you're trying to do like a luxury brand, yellow may not be what you want to use.
Like McDonald's, yellow, very affordable.
Very affordable.
Cheerios.
Yeah, happiness, yep. Brown creates a rugged, earthy, old-fashioned look or mood.
Ugh, my least favorite color. Do you have a least favorite color?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of red.
What?
Makes me feel uncomfortable, like someone's yelling at me. By the way, this is from 99designs.com. I'll put this in the show notes. It's a great little article. Gray. Gray stands for neutrality. It can look subdued, classic, serious, mysterious, or mature.
I have a tough time with gray.
Why is that? Your walls are gray in your house.
No. This is not my house.
But aren't your walls gray in your own house?
Yeah, but I didn't choose that. That's the color that we moved into.
I thought you chose that.
No. Nah, bro. Gray.
What's your problem with gray?
Sometimes gray can feel very washed out.
By the way, if Kathleen's voice sounds a little strange, she's so sad about gray that she's speaking into her fist and her whole face is pushed against her fist.
I like shades of gray, but I don't like gray. So I like shades of gray with green undertones or shades of gray with peach undertones. Mm-hmm. But when it's just gray, flat gray spot on, I hate that color.
It's just boring?
It's boring. It's the worst. And that's the color of my living room walls.
I love gray. Gray is like the promise of black.
Okay. See?
You know?
Dark gray.
Sure, but even light gray, it's like, add a little more black and you're going to be black.
No.
Gray is like black, but a pop of color, you know? Gray is like a white that got a little bit naughty one night, turned a little gray. Gray is awesome. Gray is filled with mysteries and secrets. You know, gray got into trouble and we don't know what it did.
I like pale gray. I like dark gray. But just boring middle of the road gray, no thank you.
Gray is halfway between black and white. Gray is where black and white go to have sex.
You need like a little color variation.
Yeah, I like a gray because it feels like it's not too presumptuous. It's not showing up at the party uninvited with a plate of cilantro.
You know what the ugliest color is? Gray, that's G-R-A-Y. That's the ugliest color.
How do we spell it here in America? Is it A-Y or E-Y? I've never known.
A-Y. And the A-Y. British spelling is E-Y.
Yeah, E-Y is a better spelling.
Gray A-Y is the ugliest color I've ever seen in my life. Speaking of gray, can we turn the tables very quickly to 50 Shades of Gray?
Sure. Okay, fine. I threw my book away.
Which was fan fiction of Twilight, right?
Right.
Okay. And so I watched this movie this weekend called After, which is fan fiction about Harry Styles.
That's right.
Done in the style of Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey.
How was it?
Bethany, I don't know if the screen has paused or if you're just, you have nothing to say. Okay. The screen is paused.
Oh, the screen is paused. Oh, okay.
Bethany.
I'm here. Are you here?
I can't stop.
I'm here. Are you here?
Hey, gentle listener, Kathleen here. I just want to let you know that, in fact, our screens actually did pause, and I could no longer hear Bethany. In fact, I thought that she was just frozen in time because she was so mad that I wanted to talk about Harry Styles fanfiction. So glad it was just a big misunderstanding. Anyway, here's the rest of the pod.
So, okay, so how was After, colon, the Harry Styles fanfic story?
So bad it's good. So bad it's good. Everybody should watch it.
Is the character's name Harry in the movie?
It's Harden.
Harden.
Bethany, let me tell you, there's a lot of money in writing fan fiction because this has been made into books and now it's been made into movies because after the movie After comes After We Collided, and then they're making a third one, which I believe is titled After Happy Ever.
After Happy Ever?
After Ever Happy. Sorry.
Those aren't even three words that make... Those are just words that came out of a mouth.
Yes.
After Ever Happy. And the other one was After We Collided?
No, you know what? It's After We Fell. Oh, wait. No, there's another one called After We Collided.
I'm just picturing.
I think it's After We Collided, After We Fell, then After Ever Happy.
I like After We Collided because I'm just picturing two people on the set of Wipeout, and it's just like they're trying so hard to be romantic, but they're also both wearing giant inflatable suits and they're covered in like mud, and they're trying to talk, have a serious conversation about their love, but they keep, like, the host of the show keeps going like, now jump off those bouncy balls, and then they like fall into a pit and they run into each other and they bounce off of each other.
Can we write fan fiction about the Netflix series Floor is Lava?
yes we can, because the guy who hosts that is a national treasure.
Yeah, he is.
He's incredible, and I want him to be the lead of a giant series of novels and novellas.
I love when some of the prizes that they give out is like hanging out with him, and I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, and like in one episode, there's a sexy picture of him on his side that people use as a bridge, and I'm like, did no one call? Like, if I was on that show, I'd be like, use this sexy portrait as a bridge. Use that sexy portrait, but no one called out how sexy the portrait was.
We still need to get on that show. Like, I am not really interested in being on TV shows, but that's the one show that I'm dying to get on.
Yeah. I don't like physical anything when it comes to programming. I don't want to be on Amazing Race. I would never get out of the country I started in. But like, if it came down to you have to be on a competition-based show, Floor is Lava, zero questions asked. Put me in some yoga pants and a matching t-shirt and I will be happy to do it.
You know, Floor is Lava, fan fiction, Erica and Malachi, they met on the set of a physical competition show. And when Erica flopped herself onto the spinning pyramid, Malachi knew that he just had to reach that too far monkey bar to make it to the end.
But the show is called Floor is Magma. And the thing that sucks is that Erica sacrifices herself And so she jumps knowing that the spinning pyramid is going to come out from under her and she's going to disappear into the magma and never come. And the book is going to end where Malachi didn't understand the show was not real and he thought she had died. And he has a real mental breakdown and ends the first book in a mental asylum. And everyone's like, why are you here? And he's like, the girl I fell in love with fell into magma. And people are like, what the hell? But turns out she just got taken to the green room.
That's a great cliffhanger, Bethany. Yeah. The second book should be the magma is back.
Magma back ever.
And then maybe the third book, like the floor is linoleum.
Yeah. And they both try to jump and they just crash into linoleum. But it's fine because it's not that hard because it's not that expensive.
And then they have some sort of challenge where they have to raise the money to replace it with real hardwood floors.
Yeah. But you know what? Joke's on Malachi. Uh-huh. Because Erica ends up falling for the host. It's a real will they, won't they?
Magma ever after.
Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that if you're shopping for furniture or home-related goods, the best months are July and January because home furnishing companies release their new collections in August and February.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So if you need a new couch, go out and get it now.
Love a new couch.
What did you learn this week, Bethany?
I learned that if you're trying to not spend money, do not watch YouTube videos wherein people get their hauls and show them to you. I got sucked into a wormhole of haul videos. And I know that they're old, but like my algorithm just figured them out. And it's not good for my wallet because I'm like, oh, do I need that shirt that's only a front and sleeves but doesn't have a back? Yep. Does it fit me? Nope. Am I keeping it? Yep.
Yep.
So now I have that.
I get sucked into hauls on Trader Joe's on Reddit. Neil and I keep this like list via our Alexa app. So whenever one of us goes to the supermarket, we can just open up the list and everything the other person has added is in there. And I just add every single new item from Trader Joe's from the hauls on Reddit into my app. And, you know, before you know it, I've got like 10 different types of cheddar cheese crackers and mangoes that are covered in chili powder.
Yeah, it's like it's a really dangerous slippery slope. I was watching Hope Scope on YouTube. She's awesome. She does all of these videos where she like buys the Kardashians old clothing or she buys Amazon rejects or she and I don't know where she gets all of her money. She spends like thousands of dollars. She's like, I got a box of Amazon rejects and I bid like $4,000 on it and I got it. And then she tries them all on. But every once in a while she hits on something really darling and then it's like, crap. Oh, crap.
It looks like she got an unclaimed luggage haul.
Yeah.
How does that happen? How do you just forget about your luggage?
Yeah, some people do. It's crazy. Mm. Maybe it's just too hard to go back and get it. If you for some reason didn't save your claim ticket, your luggage ticket, it's a mess.
Oh, you always have to save your claim ticket.
Yeah. So if you don't, I bet some people were just like, it's not worth it. This is too hard. I don't have time.
Oh my God. Peace. Yeah, cut your losses.
Cut your losses.
Oh, Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. What about you, Kathleen?
I'm at Web Girl Kathleen on everything.
All right. You can follow our show on social media. Follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
And on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can follow us on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a physical address. You can send us mail, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And we have a Patreon. Twice a month, we do live shows and you can join in on the fun, participate in the chat box, and we can call you up to be on the live stream with us. And that is patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
The videos you see on our channel are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media, Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family. Let's invite more people to this wonderful community of delightful weirdos.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Taste Bud Holly from Mississippi. I am calling for a couple reasons. I'm in the middle of listening to the latest episode, and I just had to stop and call in. In the beginning, Kathleen's talking about how I'm bringing Taste Buds together and how so many people have found really great friendships through the podcast, and I have a really amazing group of Taste Bud friends that I found at the beginning of the pandemic, and they are just the best friends I've ever had. I love them so, so much. And I really appreciate y'all bringing us together, really. The second thing I'm calling about is because Bethany's talking about, you know, how a breakup could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And while I'm not going through a breakup, I have decided to put in my notice at my very toxic job today. I'm sitting in my work parking lot. Feel like I'm going to throw up a little bit, but I feel like what Bethany's talking about is very applicable to my life right now. So wish me luck. Hope it goes well. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Margaret from Colorado, and I just wanted to give a call after listening to the most recent podcast where Bethany admitted that she put sugar on top of her asparagus. And while I don't know if I would normally do that, I do put balsamic vinegar on my asparagus when I roast it, and that stuff is pretty much all sugar. So I think sugar on asparagus is a great idea, and I wanted to give my vote of confidence because from one person with food troubles to another, it's great to experiment in the kitchen. I hope you ladies have a great day, and talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen and fellow taste buds. This is Jade from Iowa. Just listening to the latest bonus episode, and I had to call in because, one, my poop store is Target. It does not matter what Target I go into, I have to poop. Number two, you guys were talking about that video of the dad filming, picking up his kids from school and everyone falls on the ice. That is actually my hometown, in Iowa, the middle school I attended, and my cousin is actually in the video. So I love that you guys brought that up because I laugh hysterically every time I see it. And by the way, my cousin was one that remained standing. Have a beautiful Wednesday. Bye.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Michelle. And I'm just calling because I'm listening to this week's Loosey Goosey bonus episode. And we're talking about Poshmark. And oh my God. So I have these wedges that my mom bought me almost 4 years ago for my wedding gown. And she like brought me into a Payless and was like, Michelle, you need these wedges. And I'm like, okay, Mom. And no, I tried them on and they are the softest thing and like they're just fantastic. And I'm on my feet for like 9 to 10 hours a day. So the fact that I can wear them at work and they're still comfortable is beyond amazing for someone who has foot problems. Well, long story short, my 4-year-old pair of wedge sandals, whatever they are, that I love so much, they're just getting old and stinky and I tried cleaning them, made it way worse, right? Well, I went on Poshmark and I found the one pair of sandals in my size. Like there was only one pair and it was in my size. Like the universe was like, I see you, I hear you, and here are the shoes. And I got them for $20. So yes, huge fan of Poshmark as well as the podcast. Bye, ladies.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Christina from New Jersey. I'm just catching up on the podcast from a couple weeks ago, an episode from a couple weeks ago where you guys are talking about naturalizer sandals and comfy shoes. And I'm dying, and I just wanted to call because I actually wore some white naturalizer sandals with heels to my wedding 4 years ago, solely for the purpose of them being exceptionally comfortable and shoes I could wear all day. So I fully agree with you guys. And I'm just cracking up listening to this part of the episode. So I wanted to give you guys a call. I can send you a picture if you want. Alrighty. Love you, ladies. Talk to you later.
Hello, everyone. This is Katie from Queens, New York, or Scarlett from the Facebook group. Bethany and Kathleen, I was just driving not too long ago and saw a woman while listening to your podcast who was holding an umbrella, and it's a very hot, sunny day here in New York, like probably most places. And I thought about the conversation of fans and umbrellas, which I think is great. But then I was also thinking of, I mean, umbrellas are not a hands-free thing. And then if you have to do anything else with your hand, you're like juggling the umbrella, you're now getting wet. How about now, I literally just Googled this too. Looks like the only hands-free ones right now strap onto your back like a brace. And I don't see that ever happening, at least not for me. So I'm just saying, if anybody out there has any, you know, options or knows how to come together, hit me up and let's find one that could be attached to your wrist like a watch and maybe adjustable. So we can do hands-free, figure out a way to get the girls their fans. And yeah, anyways, have a great day. Stay cool in every way of the word. Bye. Love you.
The
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?